Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Lucky Dog Podcast. This is your host, Elias Roush. Today we have a fresh, hot out the oven, One Punch Man. Available on Netflix in the U.S. currently, May 2018. One Punch Man. The story of Saitama, a hero that does it just for fun and can defeat his enemies with a single punch. So, Saitama. Sorry, I don't know if I'm saying this right. Saitama. One Punch Man. It's a extremely unique anime that I've come across this past, week and a half. Kind of had a lull between watching Hannibal, watching a little bit of Atlanta. I kind of wanted to switch it up a little bit and check out some other sectors, other different types of narratives, and came across an anime called One Punch Man. I had heard just a little bit about it. I kind of wanted to dip my toe into anime just a little bit, just to check out some new styles of cinema. And I think that this one straight up blew me out of the water. I'll try to tiptoe around it, just spoiler free for anyone that has not seen it first, and then I'll jump into a spoiler section, you know, splash. But sorry, I'm gonna try to keep up, you know, some wacky energy going on around here, because it's solo cast, and you know, it can get a little bit but so yeah, One Punch Man. Right after watching the first few scenes, just the first episode, it did a really great job doing some introduction to giving an origin, kind of introducing you to the world, to kind of the wackiness that's going on, what the deal is with this One Punch Man universe. Why is he the One Punch Man? This, that, and the other. Who are these people that are around him? I'd say the power levels are a little bit, you know, iffy. They can kind of go, they vary. Like, people are about as powerful as they need to be. So that's one thing I have against anime. My history in anime, just real quick. I watched a little bit of Dragon Ball Z when I was growing up, not much. Played some of the video games of it, you know, and they're really, the thing about the Dragon Ball Z anime style, and as I think that they're really dynamic, just the visual style to it. Almost all the characters have a very unique style to them, and same thing for the One Punch Man series. I think that that's one thing I look for in an anime series, that it's it looks visually interesting. I guess if you want to call Pokemon anime, I guess I used to be a big Pokemon fanatic as well. That, you know, growing up, obviously. I mean, some people are, you know, big now into it. But the One Punch Man, the show that appeared on my feed, and when it appeared on my feed, I was like, this looks a little interesting. Did a little research. It had a 9.0 for the entire show average on IMDb as of now. It only has one season on, so I was like, okay, this is doable, and it doesn't have too long of episodes, and I was like, okay, I'll try it out. So watched the first episode, like I said, all of it. Very well laid out. The thing that really sticks out about this show is that it has kind of put the... So let me rewind real quick. They do a wonderful job explaining how the show in this universe work. Like I said, all of it's explained really well, from the ridiculousness of the bad guys to how they're acting, to the ridiculousness of the good guys. And they're not shy about having people just straight up die in this city, or city A, B, C, all the way to Z. They have some real stakes going on, and so I'd say that it sets this apart from other shows on some level. They have a unique awareness about how the anime style works, and how, for instance, like bad guys will be just overpowered or something like that, just power up to the max, super to the max. It's all super crazy, crazy colors and all this crazy shit's flying all over the place, and it's very self-aware about it. And you just have to be, I guess, just a little bit aware about how these shows work if you've never watched an anime show before. But I'm assuming you've watched at least one if you're listening to this. But yeah, they do a good job at bringing awareness to it and then kind of toppling the joke over its head. So, this guy might be powering up super big, super big. He's getting all the juices, all the power from the universe, and this guy, he's getting so big. And then One Punch Man comes out of nowhere looking like, I don't know, some sack off the street. He just looks like the least intimidating guy that you could possibly draw, just ever. I mean, almost anyone could probably draw this guy's face, and he just looks so unamused by almost any intimidation tactic, because this guy, he's pretty much God level of strength. I mean, he just doesn't feel pain to the extent of anyone else on the show. And like I said, it takes one punch for I think the majority of his enemies for the entire first episode at least. We can hop into spoilers here in a second, but from the title card, I think that the music, the composition of the colors, the way they use the anime style in different sections of like the fighting versus when they're talking, and they just have regular dialogue, like it, the style of the art direction is amazing. And that's half the reason that I would recommend just watching this if you aren't interested in the anything else. Just you'll see things in this show that hell I've never seen before in anything, and it's ridiculous enough that it's self-aware enough that it has enough comedic chops and smart dialogue and writing. It's not too long. It's got 12 episodes, but they're only 20 minutes each, so it's like you could literally finish this in a day if you're really trying to. It took me about a week, but I wanted to kind of savor it because it was a really fun show to watch, and I kind of wanted to, take my time with it. So hopefully they put the season 2 on Netflix and we'll get a double one. You know what? A double cast. Maybe we'll just do an episode or two, like in depth. But yeah, I would totally recommend this. Even if you're not an anime fan, I think it's got all of that. It's smart enough. It's a smart show, and it looks good enough that I think that you'll enjoy it to overcome any of the downfalls you'll think it has about it. And it's even down to, the main guy can defeat the bad can defeat any of his enemies in one punch. Like, how are they gonna make that a compelling show? And I was thinking that probably the first 10 minutes, but within the first 10 minutes it's addressed. So I can't tell you how many times I was thinking something, and then they actually felt like they were reading my mind and they answered the question directly on screen. So they I feel like it, I'm at least on the same track of where these writers are going and how they're approaching this show, and I really enjoyed it. Even to the extent some of the jokes were a little bit longer, they would, they might go for an extra long monologue about where they're from and how why they're so powerful, and they might elongate that joke just maybe a hair, and you're like, oh my goodness, can this guy just shut up? And then Saitama will be like, oh my gosh, could you just shut up, or something like that. I mean, it, like, word for word, it felt like. And so I was like, damn, this is a, it's a smart show. And I'd say the majority of the jokes hit and everything. The pacing's amazing. Like, as soon as you're like hooked in for the show, I feel like at maybe 14 minutes, I don't know, there might be a little dialogue at the beginning, depending on if there's an action. There's usually at least one or two action scenes that really just blow you away. Normally around One Punch Man. And yeah, before we jump in the spoiler section, yeah, I would totally recommend this show, and check it out. It's available on Netflix in the US, and I have no idea where it's available anywhere else. So check your local listing, and thank you for listening. We're about to hop into the spoiler section. If you'd like to ask us any questions, ask me any questions, ask do you want us to do an in-depth review? Do you want, like, episode by episode? I mean, there's some podcasts out there that are doing that already, but if we get a big enough audience, then, you know, why not? We can check out maybe one or two episodes individually and really dissect them. I think that this is a smart enough show that it has a lot to unfold, even in the 22 minutes it runs. So I did hear season two is picked up by Viz Media or something like that. Might have to do your own research on that, but this is within 2018 of May. So hopefully that means it'll be coming to streaming soon, and we'll keep an eye out for it. We're gonna hop into the spoiler section, and now we're in the spoiler section. And we here, and we back. So yeah, so this show really did blow my mind. I know I'm gonna cover things in the spoiler section that I should have said in the spoiler free section, but you know, you guys get the extra goods. You get the mind-blowing stuff. You get the juice. You get the fresh juice, you know, when you get the juice off the tree, and you get the idea. You get the idea. So anyways, from the first episode, I was really hooked. I thought that the characters were absolutely ridiculous, and they kind of fed into what they were really what they were obsessed about. You know, the lobster guy or the crab guy was really obsessed with you know, seafood, and he eventually just became a seafood creature, and he's walking around freaking what's it called? Undies and crab arms or something like that. And so it goes from that, and it has our cyborg, where he really dedicates himself, shows where he was sacrificed and then dedicated, and then he became a cyborg. And same thing for Saitama, and he really decided that he wanted to sacrifice what he was doing to he was kind of in a nowhere, no end zone. He didn't have like a job he really enjoyed. He seemed like he was fighting depression and stuff like that. And from the first episode, you really get an idea that these guys are just kind of going for their all, and they become enthralled with whatever they're seriously I would say obsessed with, to an extent. You really get a idea from Saitama that just to that he just kind of became dedicated, and he, you know, he was at the point where he was eating his enemies, you know, because it shows him show about eating the crab and stuff like that at the very beginning when you first see him, and he's explaining who he is in the market. And so I did find it a little weird that no one really knew who he was, considering how strong he was at the beginning. The entire series kind of hinges on him ranking up in these levels, and with how strong he was and how fast he just defeated his enemies, I feel like everyone would be talking about him. So it kind of it hinged on you having to believe that no one was gonna record him or keep track of him or have any fans, or basically him being a nobody. And I don't know if that would happen today. I mean, if you're a one punch guy taking down, you know, men the size of skyscrapers in one hit, you're gonna have your picture everywhere right off the bat. And the Hero Association that is in charge of looking at all these superheroes and stuff like that, they these ranked superheroes, they would have trackers on this guy in no time. And I, especially from the beginning, they do show some of the heroes. Going back, I'm looking at first episode, they show some of the class or rank C heroes and stuff like that, and lower rank being taken out by an enemy, and then Saitama coming in and just punching them in one, you know, taking them out in one punch. And they're not talking about them. I don't know. It does make sense that the Hero Association is now just starting to become, you know, part of the fold, because it would be impossible for them not to know who Saitama is right off the get-go if he's taking out some of these big enemies that even some of their ranked heroes couldn't get. But I really enjoy the buddy cop aspect with his cyborg sidekick. What the hell is his name again? Genos, sorry. Apparently there's... Oh, sorry, I'm looking at who's credited for the voices, and there's evidently a couple people that do some of the main voices. I think it's probably because they are doing English and Japanese versions, but I watched the Japanese with the subtitles on. I don't think I had the option to watch the English on the Netflix version. I'm not really sure. Anyway, I enjoyed it. It felt cool. But yeah, like I said in the spoiler section, the spoiler-free section, the brothers that smash each other, that sounded a little weird, but the brothers that he smashed him on his shoulder and killed them all in one hit, and it just popped on the screen, and I was like, oh my gosh. just the comedy of it is what really, the comedic timing, you know, that really lands in the show is what really works. It can be like the most powerful guy, like I said, and then all of a sudden Saitama just has like the most blank stare on his face. He just does not give a sheet, and it is just fucking hilarious. It's really well done. And then on top of that, like I said, the composition of the shots, the different types of anime style, there's different types of art that are shown throughout the show depending on what's happening. Even in an action scene, it can be like three or four different anime styles that you're going to see all in about 30 seconds or less. I loved how they were talking about the fact that he's a one punch man, and how is it, you know, is it compelling being a one punch man and fighting the giant brother? Absolutely fucking not. He said it's pretty damn boring. He literally said it was boring. And I thought he had just like read my mind right there. I was like, so you've literally read my mind to the point where if you're defeating all of your enemies in a show like this, which is based on fighting in one punch, how are you supposed to, I don't know, grapple with a show like that, or even make a show that is compelling with, you know, bad guys coming up to you every so often and you taking them out in one hit? It's not even it's not anything, you know, to a guy like him, because he's on another level. So he actually discusses it. Fear, tension, joy, anger. I feel none of them anymore. So, it's all in exchange for power. And that power, it's never explained. I mean, he literally just says basically he got a good diet, he did some push-ups and sit-ups and squats, and he just trained so hard that he turned bald. Which I wasn't, or turned bald and a white guy, I guess. I don't know. Everyone in this majority felt white to the extent of, I was, with the exception of maybe like one or two people, and I know they're supposed to be Japanese. I'm not really sure why they drew them so Caucasian. I mean, One Punch Man looks like someone that could live in, South Carolina or something like that. I mean, he does not look like he would be the individual that would be residing in modern day Japan. And so, I don't know if I have a little bit of a trouble with that, with that diversity call, but I mean, that if that's the way they want to draw it, I'm not going to argue with how they want to do it. I did notice that some of the women in this were drawn pretty sexualized, to the extent I was like, good gosh, is she even wearing pants at some points? I mean, it was a little ridiculous at some point. So I don't know if it passes that scale. I mean, they definitely gave the women agency to the point where they made them powerful, and they gave them, I don't know, sassy, quippy lines, but that, I don't really recall having a strong character with strong dialogue that gave them backstory to who they were from a female perspective. But yeah, but that'd be something they could work on. This really did feel like a long, I don't know, a 2 and a 2 hour movie was. Yeah, I'll try to do some math real quick. I think it would be about a 2.5 hour movie if it was all together. About 22 minutes times. Carry that. Okay, so sorry. No, it would be about a 4.5 hour movie, it roughly, give or take a little bit. But yeah, it was a great a great ride. I didn't really feel like there was any pacing problems, and as a matter of fact, I wanted to watch more almost every episode. I was like, damn it, I feel the credits coming. I was like, I was always ready for another episode, but sometimes I had to force myself to put it down. Put the punch down. The bad guys, I thought all of the bad guys, even in all of the episodes with all the bad guys, I really thought that the majority of them really worked in each different way and unique ways. And they even found unique ways for Saitama to take out the evil guy, the bad guys in one punch, still with an interesting twist, and not just make it punch dead or punch explode, punch whatever, you know? And it really worked, even through the last, was it the very last episode when he was fighting the final guy that looked like Yu-Gi-Oh, on roids, Yu-Gi-Roids or something like that. Yeah, he really got his ass whooped, but didn't the worst thing that happened to him maybe was he ripped his cape or something like that, and I was just like, okay, well, this guy clearly is invincible, and he's almost like a rag doll to the point where I almost need him to have some sort of reaction to what's going on. It just it did I could feel the rag doll effect at some point, because I think it was the very last episode where I really felt that he was just getting his ass kicked left, right, broken neck, broken back, oh my gosh, and thrown into space. Like, the almost thing that didn't happen was a planet exploded and then fall on them. I mean, it was just like, just this guy had everything happen to him, and he just doesn't feel pain. And it's just, it's different. It's hard for me to gauge a superhero that way. It's almost, he's almost more super than Superman, if that makes, he's like as strong as he needs to be. Superman, I think, was that was his criteria, was he's as strong as he needs to be. I mean, what is One Punch Man's kryptonite? Like, we don't, from what we've seen with all of these like individuals, sorry, I had some crazy ass neighbors out there doing some crazy shit. I don't know. sorry, One Punch Man, what is his kryptonite? What is going to be the weakness? What is his Achilles heel? Because in 12 episodes, he absolutely has nothing, with the exception of maybe being lonely, and it seems that he doesn't want to be lonely. What is his kryptonite? Love or something like that? I really hope it's not something like that. He gets a girlfriend and then she breaks his heart and he loses power, and I could really easily see that happening. I do want him to lose his power, but then try to find a way to regain it, get that power back, because we didn't really get too much of the training montage that I was expecting. He really doesn't have to train to the extent. I mean, he just one of the characters say it around episode three or four that he has power that would be the equivalent of a god, and ever since then I was like, okay, so he's basically told us this guy has god level powers. And it's true. I mean, this guy literally has every power. It seemed that he could just manipulate objects around him with just by pushing against them, punching them, or pushing, you know, jumping off of them. Like, he could jump as far as he wanted, to the point where it was essentially he was flying. Like, it didn't look like he was actually flying, but he's just jumping extremely far. Might have to go back and check, but and then the punches, literally punches dead, punches down, punches and the people are down, or explode, or you know, whatever else. I thought that all really worked well. I'm curious how they would make this, you know, three episodes, or I don't know, 12 episodes of in three or four seasons of a guy punching at, you know, people and they exploding in one hit. So they only did that one episode where they actually had kind of like a Dragon Ball Z knockout drag out fight, and it was more or less like, they even said it, the Yu-Gi-Oh guy even said it, he said that it wasn't even a battle. I mean, Saitama was just getting his ass kicked for, like, I don't know, 5 minutes at the beginning, and it was an amazing intro, just to, you know, seeing the music correlation with, you know, how the fighting was going, and he was getting just his ass handed to him, and it looked really dope, just all the colors, you know, coming off, and the guy changing different forms really worked. The planets exploding, and not planets exploding, but like the explosions from where they were fighting each other just blew, you know, the colors blew my mind off the screen. Just, I was like, it was crazy. And if you're watching this, I really hope that y'all watch this on like a sound bar, or you had some sort of earbuds in or something like that, because you want like full effect when you're watching this. This was definitely worth it. But yeah, so the, you know, good things, I think I've been raving about the good things the entire time. The bad things were, there's not a lot of bad with it, because I really love the music as well. I was going to say some of the music. I was actually thinking that I would like some 80s synth style music just kind of playing in the back when they're like when they're doing a couple of the fights or something like that, because I'm not 100% into rock and hard rock or hard metal or whatever you want to call it. But they actually did start playing it in some of the scenes, and so I was like, they read my mind again. And this was in 2015, so this has been, you know, a couple years in the making. And so yeah, they They did a really great job with that. The side characters, maybe have just a tad bit more diversity. They had some great LGBT diversity in this, I guess gay diversity with one of the characters. He was naked most of the time. I'm not really sure if that was necessary. A lot of the dudes were like really jacked and just really showing off their bodies like the majority of the time. So I guess that's what their demographics for are they're looking for. But I guess if you compare it to like Dragon Ball Z, I guess they did something similar, but these guys are straight up naked and stuff like that. It's like I'm not really sure if that's necessary. Let's throw some clothes on you. But hell, I guess the guys are more naked than the females, so I guess they're just trying to have some equal opportunity up in this or something like that. I don't know. Some of the heroes, they had various different power links and strengths and stuff like that, and the different rankings were definitely interesting. I loved how they categorized each hero by how popular, how strong, all this big criteria, and then they had rules if you were class C's or something like that or below. Or and Saitama really in the first few episodes was trying to create a name for himself, and I don't even think they ever really called him One Punch Man. I think that he definitely had fans that were and people looking at him as a hero in certain many of the scenarios that he saved people, with the exception of when the Tiger Boys or Tank Top Tiger Boys or whatever the hell their names were trying to ruin his reputation. But I really enjoyed how they addressed the fact that he doesn't want to be just a hero. He wants to have a name for himself, and he's trying to build a brand for himself. And I think that it just like the show, just like any show, you want to build a brand for yourself. I think that hell, I think they did it. I think they absolutely did it. They brought something to the table. They brought a brand new universe that, hell, I think is compelling and can be fleshed out in many ways. The characters that surround Saitama are just as interesting, I would say, as he is. I mean, they gave the gay dude, I don't remember his name. Let's see. Everyone had some crazy ass names, so I was like, oh Jesus, I'm never gonna remember these. Chubby, eyelash, bearded, D-bag, pig god. You see, the thing that really I would say that is negative on this is that many of the voices are shared by some of the same voice actors. So some like a bad guy, some many of the bad guys sounded very similar. So it almost sounded repetitive, even though they'd have totally different forms, totally different bodies. It would sometimes feel like, ho ho ho, I'm bad guy A and I'm bad guy B. It was like just a little bit different, and it was like, yeah, I guess the budget just couldn't afford another voice actor that would really bring some distinct voice acting in it. I've never really watched an anime, I guess, with Japanese subtitling or not Japanese sub English subtitling with Japanese audio on it, and really noticed it. But this one was one that I was like, yeah, the voice acting almost sounds too similar in many of the characters. Some of the good guys sound the same. Some of the bad guys sound the same. So it almost felt like they were the same individuals. So that would be definitely a negative on that part. Just not so hot on it. With as much as they did with the first season, like I know they could definitely give like backgrounds to many of the heroes and stuff like that, and give some in-depth backstories to them. But from like fighting bad guys, they literally fought so many bad guys. It was like, how can you even think of any more bad guys? It was almost Rick and this is like, I would say that this is like the Rick and Morty of anime, if that makes sense. If Rick and Morty's not already considered anime, I don't think it's considered anime because it's not Japanese, but I'm not really sure if what the laws are, whether it's Japanese or not. It's still animation, but anyways, this is like, you know how Rick and, if most people know how Rick and Morty, how trippy it is and how crazy and off the wall it is, and it definitely has a little something to say it underneath it, like the different undertones, like the different bad guys in some of Rick and Morty are actually have like things to say, like just like in One Punch Man, they might be a evil corporate exec or someone that is trying to come up with a secret formula to eliminate animal habitat, extinction or something like that, and they end up fucking up in some different way, and then they become the monster themselves. It's a lot of that type of writing and under theme tonal themes and subjects, I guess, if that makes sense. Just the bad guys usually just aren't just bad guys whipped out of thin air. Now, I'd say that maybe one third of them are. They are just kind of ridiculous monsters or whatever. But like most of them have like some sort of undertone, under theme that really underlines why who they are, and they kind of have time to explain it for the majority of the whatever time they're on screen. They do a great job just explaining what's going on, where they're from, for the most part. I'd say the bad guy at the very end was probably the only one we didn't really get too much of a backstory with, honestly, because he was fighting with the majority of the time. But I thought that and the aliens that they had on the very end of the episode, very end of the final, it was like they know this is the very final, and we're just gonna put all into it. We're gonna put all the aliens. We're gonna put all the destruction. We're gonna put all the fighting. We're gonna put all the ass whoopings. We're gonna put regeneration in it. So that was basically the biggest part. Like, how many times can a bad guy regenerate after you hit him with an object that forces you to, destroy every time, to destruct every time? So it was the classic immovable object meets an unstoppable. What is it? Unstoppable movement. Anybody, y'all know what I'm talking about. Immovable object. I'm gonna get that. Movable object meets what is it? Unstoppable force meets the immovable object. That's what it is. Jesus. Sorry. yeah, so that it's a lot of that. So, if someone can regenerate all the time, but you can just destroy them in one punch, who wins, So I really was curious of how they're gonna be able to have that conversation in the next few seasons, if they get more seasons. I know they have a season two lined up, but like regeneration is only so interesting for so long, is my point. And yeah, what else can you do with it? This guy at the very end clearly took more than one punch, and I guess that's probably where the show's gonna go. But to be honest, when I noticed how long the fight scene was going on, I noticed that the dialogue is some of my favorite parts of the show, and I think that it's probably one of the stronger aspects, and I think that's what I enjoy actually out of it more. The don't get me wrong, the action scenes are extremely like dynamic and well thought out and uniquely shot, and it doesn't ever feel like you're watching the same action shot again. Like, I feel like in Dragon Ball Z, there's a lot of punch, 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 kick, 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 throw someone into a building, throw someone into a mountain, and do it all over again. Throw a beam at them, throw a big beam of light. It felt like that a lot. Now, this did not feel like that at all. I mean, Saitama got his ass kicked 100 different ways, and it never felt like we were watching the same thing. So yeah, I'm anxious to see what they're gonna do in the future with more bad guys. just individuals that aren't so hot on just turning the roids up to 11 and saying, all right, we're getting down to it, you know, and you know, I'm the most power ever, you know, I've got all the energy in the world and in the universe, and I'm gonna be the most, every, you know, that's only worked so far. I would say that they did a great job establishing the team and just keep on fleshing the team out a little bit more. Saitama, I would like to maybe see him go through a little bit more of a struggle. I know that he's, you know, lonely, sad, you know, he doesn't feel anything anymore. So maybe have some sort of sensibility back in him, because it seems that the thing he did care about was being a hero and being acknowledged as a hero. So I definitely would like to see that flesh out a little bit more. I love his the people that he is surrounded by. I think they have some really colorful characters that can help flesh out the cast and really build the world. Uncle Grandpa, that guy is freaking ripped, holy shit. I don't remember his name. I'm gonna have to really go back and look at the names for these, but y'all know what I'm talking about. The girl in it, I think that she's the psychic chick. She's really cool. She got a really cool style to her. Definitely could throw some pants on her, you know. Why is everyone so naked in this? I don't understand what's going on. Where's the clothes on these superheroes? Super clothes. But they turn it into super hose. But yeah, I thought that it was fantastic. It was would I watch again? Absolutely. Would I recommend it? Hell yeah. Do you think that it's I can't measure it to any other anime because I haven't seen anything on this level. I'm trying to watch Made in Abyss, but Made in Abyss is so much more on Amazon Prime. It's so much more in depth and less focused on the less focused on the characters, more focused on the story. I would say there's so much story that goes into Made in Abyss, and it really is requiring a lot more attention, I would say, even though that they're both in Japanese and I'm watching it and reading in English. It just feels like I'm taking twice as much energy to watch Made in Abyss. So I'm gonna try to continue getting through that, just chugging along. I've really enjoyed One Punch Man. I could throw it on the back of whatever I'm doing again and just look up at it and get a nice chuckle and see some cool images and see just some really cool artwork design, and probably see some things that I didn't see the first time, because you know, if you're reading something at the bottom and you don't catch something while it's going at the top, you might catch some funny reactions or something like that. But it was great. It was wonderful, and I would really recommend it. Anime fan or not, you know. But so thank you for listening. Please rate, share, subscribe. 5 stars on iTunes. It really helps us boop us up. It helps us punch us up to the front of the line. And bring us to the top and show everyone how great the Luggy Dog Podcast is. Please, if you'd like to focus on joining in on the Luggy Dog Podcast, you could be one of the lucky ones and join us on the show. Email us at theluckydogpodcast@gmail.com. If you think that anything I said was completely out of the range, totally wrong, so stupid that you couldn't even take it anymore, it's just like, come on, man. Like, can't even believe you even podcast anymore, man. I mean, sorry. That was my doofus voice, that cheating on myself voice. You know, just, come on, man. You think you're a podcaster, man? You think you like podcasting, man? I show you a real podcaster, man. I've been podcasting 25 years. Been 25 years in the deuce. Sorry, it's a late one up in here. So, thank you for listening. Check us out. Full stream is available on Apple, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Google Play, all the popular stuff, all the popular podcast apps. Thanks for listening. Bye. ねえ、早く帰ってきてね。ため息が三日月を揺らす夜は、目を閉じて君のこと考えてばかり。会いたい気分、泣きたい気分、ロマンティックな気分。